This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Here are Monday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. July corn, 368, up 2.5. September corn, 375.25, up 2.75. December corn, 385.75, up 3. July soybeans, 954.5, up 1.25. August soybeans, 947.5, up 1. September soybeans, 937.75, up 0.75. July wheat, 521.75, up 10.75. September wheat, 529.25, up 11.75. December wheat, 543.5, up 11.5. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
This is Monday's report of grain prices and trends prepared by the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mixed to slightly higher late Monday afternoon. Trading was quiet most of the day. Soybean planting has reported at 45% complete compared to 31% last week and 36% average for this date. Soybeans were reported at 13% emerged. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn mostly 2 cents higher at 346 to 362. Soybean bids closed mixed at 931 to 948. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn mostly 2 cents higher at 347 to 368. Soybeans were up 2 cents at 940 to 960. In the southern part of the state, elevators and mills reported shell corn mostly 4 to 5 cents higher at 355 to 378. Soybean bids closed mixed at 948 to 970. Wheat closed mostly 11 cents higher at 428 to 492. Illinois soybean processor cash bids were 3 cents stronger at 979 to 985. Basis was up 2 cents at 24 to 30 over the July. High-protein soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at $311 to $328 per ton. That's up $4.70, with the basis unchanged at 3 to 20 cents over the July. Illinois corn prices quoted air producer corn market 3 cents higher at 368 to 385. Basis levels were unchanged at option to 17 over the July. Illinois River barge loading elevators placed air producer corn market 3 cents stronger at 366 to 370, with basis levels unchanged at 200 to 2 over the July. Soybean bids closed mixed at 965 to 973. Basis levels were unchanged to 2 cents lower at 10 to 18 over the July. New crop wheat prices were up 14 cents at 504 to 507, with the basis levels 3 cents higher at 1800 to 1500 the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed air producer corn market 2 cents lower at 385 to 386. These elevators lowered their soybean bids 3 to 4 cents at 991 to 992. Soft wheat was down 11 cents at 525 to 522. Milo closed 1 to 2 cents stronger at 418 to 433. Contract bids to producers for new crop grain in northern and western Illinois, fall delivery shell corn contracts were offered at 345 up to 361. Fall delivery soybean contracts were quoted at 877 to 905. In central Illinois, fall delivery shell corn contracts were quoted at 341 to 358. Fall delivery soybean contracts range from $9 to 915. In the southern part of the state, fall delivery shell corn contracts were quoted at 348 to 361. Fall delivery soybean contracts ranged 897 to 910. New June-July delivery wheat contracts in the southern part of the state ranged from 486 up to 510. That concludes Monday's grain market summary.
And here are Monday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. June live cattle, 151.57, down 95 cents. August live cattle, 150.02, down 77 cents. October live cattle, 151.35, down 32 cents. May feeder cattle, 218.97, down 2 cents. August feeder cattle, 216.72, down $1.67. September feeder cattle, 215.97, down $1.55. June lean hogs, 82.40, down 95 cents. July lean hogs, 82.72, down $1.20. August lean hogs, 83.25, down 77 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday the 18th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 84 cents lower in the range of 71 to 82, with a weighted average carcass price of $79.80. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows are trading mixed. Light sows were a dollar lower and heavy sows were a dollar higher. It was met with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 17 to 23, 4 to 5 weights 22 to 27, 5 to 6 weights 26 to 29, and 6 weights and up 28 to 31. From the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading 50 cents higher, with a moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging in price from $54 to $57. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 13,262, and from the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 125 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $84.16, and that was 68 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses, $262.92, that was 99 cents higher. Select carcasses, $250.42, that was 68 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 114,000. That compared to 113,000 last week and 118,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 423,000. That compared to 409,000 last week and 382,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Now that the World Trade Organization has once again ruled against U.S. mandatory country of origin labeling, or COOL, some livestock groups, including the National Pork Producers Council and National Cattlemen's Beef Association, are appealing to Congress to repeal COOL. The groups want Congress to act before expected tariff retaliation by Canada and Mexico over COOL. The WTO ruled COOL discriminates against Canadian cattle and pigs and Mexican cattle in violation of U.S. trade obligations. NPPC spokesman Dave Warner.
No doubt pork and beef will be on the Canadian list. It was on a preliminary Canadian list, likely to be on Mexico's list also, because those are two of the top U.S. exports to Mexico, our beef and pork, as they are to Canada.
Consultation, even arbitration, could precede retaliation, but U.S. pork industry, long opposed to the extra cost of labeling, argues it's time for Congress to act.
We are asking Congress to at least repeal the labeling provisions for beef and pork. That was specifically what the Canadians and the Mexicans had taken to the WTO in their complaint, saying that this discriminated against their cattle being shipped into the United States and Canada pigs.
Some ag lawmakers and farm groups, including the National Farmers Union, argue Americans have a right to know where their meat comes from, just like their T-shirts, and that can help sell more U.S.-produced meat. Warner says several studies refute that claim.
USDA's studies of a voluntary program showed the labeling didn't make any difference. People go into the grocery store, and when they buy meat, they look at price and quality.
Warner argues a pig born in Canada but raised and processed in the U.S. can hardly be called a Canadian pig. He calls COOL a waste of money that has little to no benefit for consumers. Self-driving or autonomous vehicles have been making headlines for a while now. Most recently, Wired released an article headlined Google's Plan to Eliminate Human Driving in 5 Years. While the headline is raising some eyebrows, it can't be denied that autonomous vehicles are popping up in more places, including the trucking industry.
Well, Freightliner Daimler made a big splash about 10 days ago. Came out with their what they call the first autonomous truck. In other words, a driverless truck. Got licensed in the state of Nevada. They had a big splash to announce it by driving it on the roadway across the Hoover Dam. Well, that was a PR stunt in itself, because trucks haven't been able to drive that little two-lane road over Hoover Dam since 9/11. So it was a great, PR splash for Freightliner. But it does point to the direction where the trucking industry could go. It may be a part of the trucking industry down the road.
President of the Midwest Truckers Association, Don Schaefer, says it's too early to say how popular autonomous systems will become, stressing that all the vehicles making headlines are in the test stage.
You know, there's been a lot of discussion and, you know, about driverless cars, you know, the Google car. I mean, there's been stories in the paper, it's been on TV. You know, it's a car without a steering wheel, nothing. You get in the car and it drives itself. You put where you want it to go and off you go. Great idea. It's still in its infancy. Google's the first one to admit that they've had some accidents, you know, but it's the test stage. And it's the same thing with the autonomous truck. The concept is great. Can it be put into effect? Can it be put into place to work? I think, you know, it's too early for that. I mean, but the concept is there and the idea is there.
When it comes to autonomous semi-trucks, Schaefer says he's skeptical as to how they could handle some of the finer maneuvering these large vehicles do off the highways.
You know, a truck could probably, in that type of situation, would work great right now on a wide stretch of interstate highway where there's, there aren't too many intersections and there's traffic's all moving in the same direction. There's technology in there, and it's called, you know, like V2V, vehicle-to-vehicle technology, whereby vehicles start talking to themselves, to each other. They can gauge how fast another vehicle is going, how close it is. Is there another one coming from the other direction? And the computer in the truck then can read all this and decipher it and say, oops, slow down, oops, stay in your lane, oops, move over to the other side because there's something on the side of the road. All this technology is being experimented with right now, and it's intelligent transportation systems is what they call it, ITS. You know, and it's fascinating. It's kind of scary. We were in Detroit last summer when the Google car was being demonstrated at an ITS convention, and you know, it's real disconcerting to sit in a vehicle and no steering wheel, nothing. It kind of feels like you're at Disney World or something like that. You know, it's you're looking for the steering wheel. You're looking to put your foot on the brake on the floor and things like that, and they aren't there.
Despite his skepticism on how well autonomous trucks could handle the first and last mile of their trips, he says he could see the industry moving towards this technology in the future.
The autonomous truck, though, is still, it's a concept that we can see driverless in certain conditions. But it's still that first mile, last mile situation where, you know, they haven't figured it out yet. How do you get a truck once it gets off the highway? It gets into a yard. It's got to back up. It's got to go to a loading dock. Someone's got to drive it to put it in there. How are you going to take a truck? You're going to pull it up to a siding. You're going to put a load of pigs in there, and you're going to take off, make sure you get it to the right place and at the right time. And the same way, I don't care what it is, you're loading grain, loading, you know, widgets, as I said earlier. All these ideas are out there. You're still going to have someone in the cab, I think, of a truck just to be able to handle those types of a situation. But I think the whole concept is that if you can make an autonomous truck and build in the collision avoidance systems, you can program it to go at a certain maximum speed, that truck's watching out for, you know, for the other truck out there, and you can make it safe and you can make it foolproof, then sure, that's the way it's going to go.
For any staunch naysayers of autonomous vehicles, Schaefer reminds them that we have already made strides in driving technology many didn't think possible a decade ago.
you know, 10 years ago, we laughed, you know, to think that farmers would, you know, be sitting back in the tractor during planting season and just sitting there twiddling their thumbs as the planter's plucking the seed in. And you know, there's a GPS and computers on the tractor that's controlling everything. And really, you know, the farmer, you know, he's in the back. He's in the tractor, you know, just to turn the thing around so he can set it up for the next row. And you never would have thought this is never going to happen. Well, it's happening, and it's, you know, it's standard operating procedure now for, you know, for a lot of farms. Same thing with trucks. Same thing with cars. I mean, you know, that the technology is growing. The technology will get perfected sooner or later. And I think we're going to see, we'll see something of that variation down the road.
Again, that was President of the Midwest Truckers Association, Don Schaefer. The Illinois Crop and Weather Report was released this week. Warm temperatures continued throughout the state last week, giving emerging crops opportunities to advance. Statewide precipitation averaged 1.41 inches, 0.38 inches above normal. The average temperature was 63.2 degrees, 0.6 degrees above normal. There were 2 days suitable for field work during the week ending May 17th. Topsoil moisture supply was rated at 3% short, 75% adequate, and 22% surplus. Subsoil moisture supply was rated at 9% short, 79% adequate, and 12% surplus. Corn planting reached 94% complete, compared to 83% last year and the five-year average of 82%. Corn emerged continued to climb and reached 75%, up 33 percentage points from last week. Soybeans planted reached 47%, compared to 35% last year and the five-year average of 36%. Winter wheat headed jumped to 70%, up 34 percentage points from last week. Winter wheat condition was rated at 2% very poor, 9% poor, 32% fair, 49% good, and 8% excellent. Oats planted reached 94% complete. Pasture and range condition was rated at 2% poor, 17% fair, 60% good, and 21% excellent. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.